Good afternoon. You're very welcome to Radio Maria Ireland. My name is John Lacken, and you're listening to a new show here on Radio Maria Ireland called The Traditional Catholic Family. This show is brought to you on behalf of Legio Sancti Familiae, the Legion of the Holy Family, and I'd like to begin with a prayer to Our Lady, asking her for guidance and protection for all married couples. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Ave Maria, gratia plena. Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et in hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Sce devaha avura, at allom de grosta, ton tirna lat, Hispania hu idir mena, agus Hispania, tara de vrina iesa, ane avura hawaher dei, Guiaring na paci anish agus erurum as. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today is Friday the 15th of April, the year of our Lord 2016, and it just so happens that it's my eldest sister's birthday. Happy birthday, Catherine, and I hope you'll have a wonderful day today. This show will be broadcast on a weekly basis on Friday afternoons from 4 to 4:30 initially. And because today's show is the first show for Radio Maria Ireland, I'd like to spend the time today in explaining exactly what it is that I propose to speak about during the course of the shows, and what I'm hoping to achieve in having the show. If you'd like to text the show at any point, the number is 085-120-8779. That's 085-120-8779. You can also contact me by email, john@truedevotions.ie, and we have a website, www.truedevotions.ie. So what is Legio Sancti Familiae? Legio Sancti Familiae is the Latin for the Legion of the Holy Family. It's a new organization which has been set up for the purpose of evangelizing families by bringing to them the truths of the Catholic faith concerning marriage and family life. In time, it is hoped that it will become an association of the Catholic faithful. It's no secret that family life, in the Western world in particular, is in serious trouble. Divorce rates are rising. The number of single-parent families is rising. Young people are more and more choosing to live together rather than to marry. Those that do marry tend to marry later in life and are likely to have less children than in previous generations as a result. It would seem that the majority of Catholics also believe that contraception is okay and that its use is a matter of conscience for them. On the subject of homosexuality, many Catholics, and the majority of those people who voted in the recent referendum in Ireland, think that homosexuals can marry each other. They do not seem to understand that marriage, of its very nature, can only be between one man and one woman. There's no such thing as same-sex marriage. These and other factors, one of which, a significant one, is a very poor level of general catechesis, have a negative impact on family life. They make it harder for everyone in their married lives. And thus, these tendencies also have a very negative and destructive impact on our society. The Catholic Church takes marriage very seriously because the ongoing life of the Church depends, to a large extent, on marriage. And the same is true, incidentally, for society. Society is dependent on marriage and families for its very existence. Recently, the Catholic Church conducted two synods on the family, one in 2014 and a second in 2015, to discuss the very difficulties and problems facing the family in the modern world. And this culminated in the release by Pope Francis of the apostolic exhortation Amoris Laetitia, The Joy of Love, just last Friday. So it would seem that Legio Sancti Familiae is an organization whose time has come, an organization that is sorely needed today. There's a need for an army of families who seek first and foremost to do God's holy will in their married lives, and who also have a desire to bring the joy of love lived in the truth of Christ to other families, particularly to those families that are struggling and to those that are suffering for various different reasons. This has to be an army which will rise to defend the great glory of the sacrament of traditional Catholic marriage, so that God may be truly honoured in how couples live out this beautiful sacrament of nuptial love. There's an old Latin saying, Nemo dat quod non habet. You cannot give what you do not have. Therefore, if we wish to live married life to the full as God so desires of us, if we wish to encourage others in their marriages, and if we wish to help those for whom marriage has become a burden and a difficult trial, then first and foremost, we ourselves must have a clear and correct understanding of what God's great plan for marriage is and has always been. And with this in mind, the first shows in this series will be catechetical in nature, going through the constant teaching of the Church with regard to marriage, and showing that those of us who are married, by doing our best to live up to these teachings within our own married lives, will find the surest way of having a happy and fulfilling married life. The Legion of the Holy Family has three great heavenly patrons, as the name would suggest. Firstly, there's Saint Joseph. We seek to cultivate in families a deep devotion to this great saint, who is known as the protector of Holy Mother Church, the guardian of the Holy Family. Saint Joseph tends to be a hidden saint on account of the fact that we don't read much about him in Scripture. But if you really want to understand Saint Joseph's greatness, then you simply have to look at the two people who were entrusted to his care and guidance, Our Lady and the child Jesus Christ. If God the Father trusted Saint Joseph to look after Our Lady and Jesus, especially in his childhood, then we can have no doubt that he will be more than capable of looking after us, if we have recourse to him. Let's listen to what Saint Teresa of Avila said of Saint Joseph. She suffered from a kind of paralysis, and she was bedridden for about 3 years at one stage in her life. Here's what she says. I took for my advocate the Lord and glorious Saint Joseph, and commended myself earnestly to him. And I found that this, my Father and Lord, delivered me both from my temporary paralysis and also from other and greater troubles concerning my honour and the loss of my soul, and that he gave me greater blessings than I could ask of him. I do not remember even now that I have ever asked anything of him which he has not failed to grant. I am astonished at the great favours which God has bestowed on me through this blessed saint, and at the perils from which he has freed me, both in body and in soul. To other saints, the Lord seems to have given grace to succour us in some of our necessities. But of this glorious saint, my experience is that he succours us in them all, and that the Lord wishes to teach us that as he was himself subject to Saint Joseph on earth, for being his guardian and being called his father, he could command Jesus, just so in heaven he still does all that he asks. This has also been the experience of other persons to whom I have advised to commend themselves to him. And even today there are many who have great devotion to him through having newly experienced this truth. I wish I could persuade everyone to be devoted to this glorious saint, for I have great experience of the blessings which he can obtain from God. I have never known anyone to be truly devoted to him and render him particular services who did not notably advance in virtue, for he gives very real help to souls who commend themselves to him. For some years now, I think, I have made some request of him every year on his festival, and I have always had it granted. If my petition is in any way ill-directed, he directs it aright for the greater good of my soul. So that's Saint Teresa of Avila speaking about Saint Joseph. And Saint Teresa was a great saint herself. So you can see that having Saint Joseph as a patron for the Legion of the Holy Family makes good sense. And I recommend that you practice and encourage this devotion in your own families. Husbands in particular should look to Saint Joseph for strength and help in carrying out the great responsibilities that we have as husbands and fathers. Our next patron is Mary, the great Mother of God, the woman of the Magnificat. We seek to emulate this great prayer within our own marriages. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. As part of the Magnificat from St. Luke, we can invoke Our Lady's help under any of her many, many titles, but one which the Legion is particularly fond of is Our Lady Help of Christians. St. Don Bosco once said, if you want to see miracles, invoke Our Lady under the title Help of Christians. He himself, after a vision or a dream, built a great basilica to Our Lady Help of Christians in Turin, and his relics are venerated there to this day. We also look to Mary as the wife of St. Joseph and as the mother of Jesus to help Catholic mothers to live their vocations, the married life, as Our Lady did. The Legion encourages the daily recitation of the family rosary. Families who pray the rosary daily will overcome many trials and will be given special help and graces in their family life, particularly in times of need. Our third patron, of course, is Jesus Christ, but particularly we look to Jesus as a child and as a member of the Holy Family. In St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, the story is told of Jesus' discourse with the doctors of the law in Jerusalem. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the company, they went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be at my father's house? And they did not understand the saying which he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. There's much to ponder in this short excerpt from the life of Jesus, but the point I want to focus on just now in relation to the family is that Jesus, the Son of God incarnate, was living with St. Joseph and Our Lady. He was under their authority, and he was obedient unto them. God accepted instruction and commands from mere human creatures. This shows us the great humility of God. It shows us the tremendous love of God for us, that he who is all powerful, who created the majesty of the heavens, became obedient to an earthly father and mother. The importance of authority in the home is so great and so majestic that even Jesus, the Son of God, submitted himself to it when exercised by human creatures. God cares about marriage and family life. Again, with regard to the child Jesus, there are specific devotions. There's the devotion to the infant of Prague. There's the devotion to Jesus, the King of Love. We look to the child Jesus with a simple trust that he will provide for our families. And we especially invoke his help for our children, that they may one day become saints in his heavenly kingdom. The Legion of the Holy Family also adopts a gospel passage as a kind of anchor to our apostolate. It's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 24 to 34. My wife and I chose this Gospel for our wedding almost 28 years ago. Matthew, chapter 6, verse 24 to 34. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day. So here Jesus makes a promise to us that if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all of our material needs will be provided for. Over the course of my own married life, there have been times of difficulty and financial hardship. But if ever things just did not seem to be working out, I would remember this gospel passage, and I would look into my heart to see if there was any area of my life in which I was putting the kingdom of God in second place, or ignoring it altogether. Life gets busy sometimes. We get distracted. We can lose our focus. Invariably, I would find an area of my life that needed work, needed improvement. And once I set about dealing with the issue and getting my priorities for God's kingdom back in order, I would find peace again and the troubles would lessen. You can visit the Legion's website at www.truedevotions.ie. Here you'll also find the collection of articles that I've written for the Catholic Voice over the last 2.5 years about marriage as the great gift from God. I want to move on then to the title of this show. It's called The Traditional Catholic Family. I chose that title because it reflects a reality, a truth, if you will, of our Catholic faith. God designed marriage and the family for a particular purpose and with a particular structure, and it cannot be altered by any man. This is the traditional Catholic family, and it is this model of family life, promoted and defended by the Catholic Church down through the centuries, that this program seeks to explore and to teach about. As for me, John Lacken, who am I? Well, an ordinary man. I'm married to Naomi, 28 years this November, please God. We have 8 children, 2 girls and 6 boys. In my late teenage years, I fell away from the practice of my faith, and I did not live according to God's plan. This led me to become deeply unhappy, but thank God my search for happiness led me back to God and back to the Catholic faith of my childhood. Also led me to the beautiful woman who is to become my wife. In living the life of a married man through the joys and hardships of being a husband and a father, and through a concern for my children's future, it led me to question ever deeper what it means to be a Catholic. And I discovered that the Catholic Church is a great treasure house of God's teaching, and began to wonder why this teaching is so little known, or so badly known amongst today's Catholics. So many Catholics of my age and younger have misconceptions of Catholic teaching on marriage, and these misconceptions tend to deprive them of living their married lives to the full. They miss out on great opportunities to advance in the spiritual life, because most of them have never heard of the spiritual life, and they're unaware of its existence. They have been badly formed, and sad to say, they have been badly let down by those who should have known better. They plod along through life like a three-legged dog, because they've been deprived of the life-giving teaching that Christ entrusted to his Church. Some sadly lose hope and end up in very unhappy situations. The children too are badly affected because they miss out on learning about their true worth as children created in the image and likeness of God. But though marriage and family life are in trouble in the Western world, we must never give up hope. We must rise again, refreshed in the truth of Christ, to proclaim anew God's plan for marriage and family, despite those who will oppose or distort Christ's message on married love. Husbands and fathers need to know of Christ's love for them and of his wonderful plan for their lives. Wives and mothers need to know of Christ's love for them and of his beautiful plan for their lives. Children need to know of Christ's love for them and of his exciting plan for their lives. We have to continue journeying with Christ, and we need to learn how to discern his plans for our lives, so that in striving to follow his plans, we may become holy, and then one day we may join him in the heavenly kingdom. But we also need a timely reminder of chapter 12 of the book of the Apocalypse. And there was a great battle in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And that dragon was cast out, that old serpent who was called the devil and Satan, who seduceth the whole world. And he was cast unto the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. And the dragon was angry against the woman, and went to make war with the rest of her seed, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the dragon, Satan, who's cast down, makes war with the rest of the seed of the woman. And that's us. We are the seed of the woman who the dragon is making war with. So it is important to remember we are at war. And we have an enemy who has battled for the destruction of humanity since the beginning of time. We faithful living on earth, we're not called the church militant for nothing. We're at war, and the war is for our souls and for the souls of our neighbours. We face a very powerful enemy who is of an order of creatures far superior to ourselves, gifted with incredible intelligence and cunning, and he has been permitted by God to wage war against us as a test of our resolve to know God, to love God, and to serve God. On our own, we are absolutely no match for this enemy, and we will be utterly defeated should we choose to do battle with his enemy on our own. Now, we may question the wisdom of allowing such an unfair match to take place, but in questioning the ways of God, we will be given the same answer that was given to St. Peter in St. Matthew's Gospel. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the ancients and scribes and chief priests, and be put to death, and the third day rise again. And Peter, taking him, began to rebuke him, saying, Lord, be it far from thee, this shall not be unto thee. Who, turning, said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan, thou art a scandal unto me, because thou savourest not the things that are of God, but the things that are of men. And that's Matthew 16:21-23. And then following, Jesus tells his disciples what is expected of them in this great battle of life. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For he that will save his life shall lose it, and he that shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? Or what exchange shall a man give for his soul? Again, this beautiful passage of Matthew's Gospel, it shows us the value of each and every one of us. Every soul created in the image and likeness of God has a value that is greater than the whole of material creation. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and suffers the loss of his soul? And we know the final outcome of the war because again, St. Matthew continues, For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then will he render to every man according to his works. And those quotes there were from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21-27. So Jesus Christ will return in all his glory and splendor to present each and everyone that has existed from the beginning of time until the last day to God the Father for the general judgment of mankind. Along the way, many battles have been won and lost, and there are many battles still in progress. But the battle for the family is particularly suited to married couples because we have a great interest in marriage. And the call must go out to fathers in particular to take up the challenges of leading their families in holiness and in love. In God's design for marriage, the man is the head of the family, and his role is to lead his family in holiness and in sanctity, to guide them along this journey. So that brings me to the end of today's show. I'm very happy to deal with questions or topics that anyone would like to see presented on the show. So once again, the contact details are as follows. You can text me on 085-120-8779. You can contact me by email, john@truedevotions.ie. And again, the website, www.truedevotions.ie. I will also be giving a talk on the traditional Catholic family at several venues around the country in late May and June. The first of these talks is scheduled for Friday, May the 28th in the Drummond Hotel in Ballykelly at 7 p.m. and the second is for the following Saturday the 29th of May in the Wellington Park Hotel in Belfast, and again at 7 o'clock in the evening. And we'll start with the Rosary, then there'll be two talks. I'll be joined by Anthony Murphy, the editor of the Catholic Voice. He will speak on deepening and nurturing our Catholic faith, and again that goes back to you cannot give what you have not got. If you don't know the truths of the Catholic faith, how can you bear witness? How can you help others? And then I'll be giving the talk on the traditional Catholic family. And so next week I hope to look at marriage from the beginning with a brief study of what the first four chapters of the book of Genesis have to teach us about God's plan for marriage. And so may God bless you in the most sacred heart of Jesus. May good Saint Joseph and Our Lady watch over you until next week. Thank you and God bless.